I don't know who is going to like this episode more, Celtics fans or Celtics haters. Just myself, Max, and Bijan kind of reacting to what we saw at Game 3, kind of big picture stuff, you know, venting for like 50 or so minutes. Much needed. Had to get a lot of things off the old chest. Tough one. Definitely going to be one of those things, one of those games where you're walking around today, tomorrow, you know, random everyday moments and be like, damn, that happened. But as Bijan mentions towards the end of it, life goes on. But yeah, Sunday night was tough. Didn't see that one coming. A 26-point loss, never was competitive. Just rolled over, really sad stuff. So yeah, here it is. Hopefully it's one of those all-time episodes, the nadir of the Boston Celtics. And yeah, here it is. Thanks for listening.
I don't even know where to start. Obvious letdown. We let our fan base and organization down. It was embarrassing. Those were the words of Jaylen Brown. Fellas, Max, Bijan, I'm pissed off. I'm upset. What a year. What a difference a year makes. From going to the finals, beating this Miami Heat, and going to the finals, getting over that hump. And now here we are, down 3-0. The Celtics quit last night, Sunday night. They quit on the season, on the series. And here we are, down 3-0, a spot that 149 teams have been in and 149 teams have not succeeded from. Bijan, Max, we want to rant. Fellas, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, like I say in Austin, we were talking about this before we really hopped on. But earlier tonight, I kind of was optimistic. I'm like, we can get a game. If we can win two, we'll be good. And then we'll be kind of rolling from there. And now I'm just like, all hope is lost, which kind of sucks. I feel like there's no other way you're going to look at it. Like Austin was just saying, not really going to get out of it. And I really don't think we're going to win a game at this point. Yeah. It'd be great to win a game, but I just don't see it happening.
I don't really care if they win a game or not, because then I have to watch these guys play another game longer. Wow. I really don't. I you know, these guys, they're all talk, and okay, Jaylen, like you say that, but I don't see it. Like, I hear this after a lot of games. Oh, we didn't come out with the right intensity, we didn't come out with the right fire. I mean, we heard this 25% of the regular season games after 25% of the regular season games or whatever. And you need to do something about it. If you say it, you need to do something about it. And, you know, Jimmy Butler is fantastic, obviously, but he didn't even do anything tonight. This game was won by everybody. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I stopped watching in the third quarter. Smart had that, like to start, he had that and one, cut it to 12, and I was like, oh, okay, like maybe we have a chance. And then eventually from that at 12 point, it got to 23, and I just stopped watching because I was like, no, there's no way they're winning this game. I was like, if they're going to make a run, it was going to be at that moment. And at halftime, I got really pissed off at this. Halftime, I heard on the broadcast something about, oh, positive vibes in the Celtics locker room. Grant Williams with an emotional speech or something like that, or something like that along the lines. Marcus Smart has a huge smile on his face. Like, get out of here with all that crap. Like, that is disgusting. I don't want to hear anything about that. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
I'm right there
and
with
then you. Come out like, and yeah. Then you know, and then it wasn't just that. Then you come out here like, and then you come out there and quit in the third quarter after saying those things. That really pisses me off. Like, what? Come on, man. I mean, these guys get paid. Like, there can't be any quitting. You guys get paid on devilish amounts of money to play a game. All we ask is fans. I personally watched probably 75, 76 out of 82 fucking games this year. And this is how we get treated. And I mean, it's a game, you know, life goes on, but it just sucks, man. I mean, we the fans love this team. We would die for this team. And yet it seems like this is a common theme of just lack of intensity, lack of effort. And that can't happen when you're a pro athlete playing in this city.
Yeah, it can't. I was right there with you, Bijan. My first instinct when I heard that halftime report from Allie LaForce was that no fucking way was there positive messages being sent at the halftime locker room. No way.
I mean, you don't want sorry to cut you off. You don't want negative messages, but like the fact that like it was like positive messages, like no, we need some accountability. We don't need, okay, guys, we're in this. No, we need, you guys step your fucking shit up.
Yeah, no, like, none like of the
corny that. That's not, that's, yeah. We need more like that. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Joe Mazzulla, after the game, said, quote, I just didn't have them ready to play. Didn't have them execute the proper game plan. Didn't put them in the proper mentality to be ready, end quote.
Why in the cage, bro?
This has been a common theme, fellas. As I've told you guys many times in the chat and whatnot, on paper, the Celtics team is better than they were last year with the acquisition of sixth man of the year, Malcolm Brogdon, getting rid of zero of the rotational pieces of the team that was two wins away from getting Banner 18 last year. And what changed? Ime Udoka out off of those weird circumstances and Joe Mazzulla in. Who now these reports come out that I've just learned about in like the recent days, weeks, that like he wasn't even on the first row of coaches last year. That's kind of alarming. I wanted to watch the town in solidarity with him, you know, another movie to watch, get off the old bucket list there, the checklist, you know, which car
you've ever, you ever seen the town?
I've not.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's so good. I don't know what it is. It's a good fucking movie. You got to go watch that.
What's it about?
It's about these guys that do bank heists, but they live in Charleston.
Oh, okay. But it's a Boston movie?
Yeah, and they pull off this massive heist in Fenway Park. It's really fucking sick.
If it's anything like The Departed, I'll love it.
It's kind of. Not really, but it's still a really good movie.
But anywho. You know, usually I like to pick apart, you know, specific plays. I can't really remember specific plays from this game three other than the fact that the Heat time and time again would just cause the Celtics to make a stupid pass or even unenforced, just a stupid pass or a terrible shot. Jalen would just chuck up a shot or Marcus would throw it to the wrong team. Or Jason Tatum would forget to dribble it to the other team. What have you. Heat come down. Max Strus in rhythm three-pointer. Gabe Vincent three-pointer. I have never seen Gabe Vincent miss a shot. Oh, my God, that guy makes every shot. Caleb Martin is an elite role player. If I were a GM, I'd pay $65 million.
I hate Caleb Martin. He sucks.
He is so good.
It pisses me off. He's not good.
I think he – and then – As like I was telling Max before we started going here, this series has kind of made me change a lot about how I think about basketball. Maybe the warning should have been here when the Heat beat the Bucks in five games and what was the fourth biggest odds difference upset ever or whatever it was. Are the Heat actually really talented? Are they actually so much better than us? Because all we hear about is a talent gap. And, oh, ESPN pushing this. The Celtics, 97% favorite. 65% after game two, which is preposterous. Betting had us – Vegas had us at a 4.5-point favorite into game three. Ridiculous. The Heat just know how to play together. They generate such great shots almost every time down the court. Can't be said about the Celtics. We have no offensive identity. Mazzulla after today said we have no defensive identity. What was a calling card last year? Defense. Not this shit this year. Derek White is getting hunted. Second team all defense. I love this defense in the regular season. Jimmy Butler sees him. That's barbecue chicken for him.
His eyes get real big, don't they?
I'm at the point where I don't trust any Celtics lineup against any Heat lineup. What a sad place to be. How the mighty have fallen. Max, help me out here. Why am I
so stressed about anything? I think two big things is the coaching, obviously. He's just running circles around us. And the Heat just want it more. The energy, the intensity, the hustle, everything. All the players want it so much more. Which is really hard to see. Like you're saying, Bijan, we watch all these games, we put so much effort into it, we get nothing out of it. I wouldn't say nothing. We get good moments.
We are a little bit spoiled, but still, I mean, the expectations are championships.
I mean, like, I don't know, I've been watching for like 8, almost 9 years now. And it's just the same shit over and over again.
It's like conference finals every year.
And it's just like, I got it. I get it. We got there last year. But like, even this year, like, we had so much good stuff. Danilo Gallinari dropped, Ime gone. I don't know. We had so much potential going into this year, and it seems like we lost all of it just by bad luck. And it's frustrating, and I don't know. I think the organization really fucked up with the Ime Udoka stuff. I'm sure maybe they didn't. Maybe it's just stuff we're not hearing about. But like you're saying, Austin, Mazzulla really just wasn't this fit. And I really have a hard time believing he'll come back next year, even though they don't want to it's like 4 or 5 coaches in 5 years. I know they really don't want to do that, but they kind of have to.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I don't really get it, but has to happen. And then, I mean, like, I was talking about this earlier. Players are going to be gone. Grant's probably gone. Pritchard's gone. JB might be gone. Al might retire. And then it kind of leaves you with what? You got Jason, you got Brogdon, Derek White, Rob, and Marcus. That's kind of it. So, and then you got really no bench. So at that point, do you think of maybe trading players away and rebuilding?
No, rebuild.
I don't think so. But you really end up losing half your team. There's a chance that we lose half our team. So it's a weird spot that we're in right now.
Okay. Well,
that's worst case scenario.
I don't want to go complete there yet because I think if you lose Jalen, you're getting a massive haul for him back, right? You're offering him the supermax. If he turns that down, you trade him immediately, right? And if he signs it, he signs it, and you go forward from there. So I think, and then what I don't want to get too much into off-season stuff, and I think Austin, you may agree that might be for a later date because the season isn't over. And I think I'll mention a little bit Mazzulla, but I want to get more to this team because this team still like. This team deserves to be criticized a lot more and talked about and roasted. I do think possibly you look at moving. I think Smart's run its course. So I actually think if you move Smart, you can actually keep Payton, Derek, and Brogdon, and that actually may work out. But that's – Max, what are your thoughts on that? Like trading Smart and keeping Pritchard, and then Pritchard would be like a backup. You'd have Smart and – you'd have White and Brogdon plus whatever you get back for Smart. Probably
wouldn't. My issue is Smart, I feel like he causes a lot of, I don't know if it's locker room issues or whatever. I know he's a big voice and he kind of can be controversial in that area. And he's getting older, obviously. But I don't know. I think if you let him go, then Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown really get control of the team. It's kind of instead of kind of sharing it because we don't have one true leader.
Yeah,
Marcus would do that, which is not a bad idea. But
I think
we really lose a lot at the point guard position.
I don't think that moving Marcus is the answer.
What?
He's a guy who had 10 assists in the first half.
Okay, in the second half, it was game one.
He's a guy in that's game not his six, fault, dude. A guy in game half, six in Philly who was huge for us.
Okay, yeah, but Bijan, you realize that coaching adjustments matter so much. That's why you see in both the first two games, we started off good. In the third quarters, we got fucked. It's that simple.
True. But that's the third quarter.
Dude, the halftime coaching adjustments just destroyed us.
All right, well, I think game two was more about just a late game. Our players just don't are not don't handle late game situations well for whatever reason. Because in the fourth quarter, we had an 11-point lead, and then Grant Williams did what he did. Jimmy Butler went bananas, and that was history. First game, yeah, I mean, we got outplayed in the second half completely. But back to Missoula. Okay, so Austin, those comments Missoula had, I actually like the comments. I think it's humble. I think it's good to hear that he's not being overly defensive. So I personally like those. I don't have a problem with those Missoula comments. And even if I did, I don't think post-game comments are really that important, because you can say anything you want, but you need to do it. So the fact that Missoula was countable, took 100% on him, I really like to see. Also, as I think about it, I don't think Missoula. I really, you can't, four coaches in 4 years. I don't think that is, I mean, unless you are really like in love with Monty Williams or something like that, I don't want to hear any like Nick Nurse or Mike Budenholzer or anything like that, or Doc. I mean, no one said Doc, but I think Monty Williams or a guy like that, that you know can get it done, like you maybe consider. But I mean, you guys think about this, four coaches in 4 years, like, is that, that's not, I mean, that is borderline like dysfunction.
I agree. I agree. It's really tough for any star player, any sort of continuity.
And I think
Mazzulla's not a dumb guy. His third quarter interviews are like, he's a smart guy. He's crisp. Yeah. He's to the point. He knows what he's talking about. But when you're going up against Spo, and I mentioned this to you guys, it's worth reiterating here for, I guess, a public audience for the two listeners. Shout out to the two listeners. Game two, we're up four and a half minutes left. TNT cameras cut to Spo, you barking out signals on it to his offense. Then they cut to Missoula. He's doing nothing. And I go, oh, man, here we go. They're going to run something good. What happens? Butler down screen on Jalen. Jalen gets behind Robinson, backdoor cut layup, cut it to two. Then what happens? Jalen skies in for an offensive rebound off of Grant Williams' miss in the near corner three off, I think, a good pass from Tatum. Jalen skies in for the offensive rebound, but his pride takes over, and he goes up for the contested layup, blocked by like three different guys. He had two three-point shooters open. I know Horford's been a big minus in three-point shooting this series. These playoffs, he was 2 for 5 tonight, what have you. He was still a minus 21 in 19 minutes. Caleb Martin, by the way, was a plus 34 in 35 minutes for the Heat to Sunday night. I think the Missoula thing is he just doesn't take timeouts. He's too young, and he doesn't motherfuck the fellas like Udoka did. With Udoka, there was at least a sense of, hey, if stuff goes bad, Udoka will right the ship. He will get under the guys. He will galvanize the fellas. Here we go. Bounce back. Get your head out of your ass. Let's fight.
Yeah. Famous quote from last year. Stop playing like assholes, he said. That's what he said last year. That's what in the finals, I think.
So at least we had that. And maybe the you know, Jaylen Brown, second team all NBA. And this goes back to Bijan's discussion with Jaylen, because remember when we were struggling, what, 2-3 years ago, whatever it was, first round exit when Jaylen injured his wrist, and it was basically Jason and a bunch of nobodies, and the
Romeo Langford starting.
The discourse was split up Jaylen and Jason, and now the national media, I can't believe this was ever discussed. How could you ever split up the Jays? And now here we go again. Here we go again. Now that discourse is picking back up. Jaylen Brown to the Rockets has been heavily rumored. I know, Max, you were touching on that before we got going here. The Supermax thing's going to be very interesting because he's second team all NBA. So you're going to have to pay him if he, you know, opts into that. But is Jaylen Brown, is he a second team all NBA guy, or is he the guy that we've seen in the series? What is more of his true self? And does that have to do with coaching? Would he be this bad if Udoka was still the coach? Probably not. Probably not.
What? All right, I disagree with that.
What do you mean?
I think, in my opinion, Udoka, so I agree with the fact that Joe is very young. I think he'll be a good NBA coach one day. I agree with the fact he's a very bright guy. I think I agree with the fact that he's too young and not ready to handle a contender. That doesn't mean he shouldn't be an NBA coach. Just I don't think this personally is. I don't think he's ready for this for a championship team. And it's not fair. It was not fair what they put on him to. I mean to make him the coach. I don't. That's it. Wasn't a fair position he was put in by the organization. So while we can blame Joe, and definitely there he deserves some blame, I think mainly for him is, or the main difference from last year in terms of coaching is what you said, that guys play, like get your head out of your ass, like play better, stuff like that. Or I don't mean like just like play better, but you know what I mean. Ime is like the defensive mindset that he set into this team wasn't there, and I think that has to do especially on offense. They had issues closing games, which they have that issue this year. Issues with turnovers, they come about. Those are the two things. Those two on offense. Those things have happened this year. Jalen on offense had games where he was throwing the ball over the place last year, especially against Miami. I don't think Jalen had a great, if I remember it correctly, I'm not sure Jalen had a great series against Miami last year. I know, remember against Golden State, he was like the best player over Tatum on our team, but he still was turning the ball over. So I don't agree with the fact that Jalen would be playing like that much better offensively if we had Ime. I do agree that our defensive mindset and that mentality that we had with Ime was a lot stronger. And that's where I think the coaching difference comes in. These guys are pros. These guys know how to play basketball. They should know how to like not turn it over and stuff at this point. I have a tough time thinking that's that big of a difference between Ime and Joe. While I do acknowledge that the defense, in my opinion, certainly is a big difference. But I think a lot of offensive struggles we've seen this year happened last year with Ime.
Yeah. I just want to say something because of the coaching stuff. It was in game two. Remember we went on that 17-2 run in like the first quarter?
We did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a big reason that happened was because of our lineup. We had a small ball defense lineup in that I haven't seen him play once since that game.
Without Jalen, right?
Yeah, it's Marcus, Brogdon, Derek White, Jason Tatum, and Robert Williams.
Yeah.
The defensive small ball lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked so well. We went a 17-2 run. The defense was ridiculous. The offense wasn't great, but it didn't need to be great because the defense was so fucking good. And then he switches it up, takes Jalen out, Jason Tatum out, puts Jalen in, and then they go on a 17-2 run. He just doesn't.
Yeah.
It sucks because he sees a lineup work so well, and he's like, oh, I'll take out my star guy and I'll put Brown in, thinking it'll work, but it's a totally different lineup. It's not how those things work, and he thought it would. And I get it. He's still a young coach. He's learning stuff as he goes, but I feel like if you made a better adjustment there, it would have worked better. But it's those little things, the little coaching mistakes that he doesn't know yet that he's starting to learn that's costing us.
Yeah, where it was like game seven against Philly, Robert Williams is like awesome. And it's like, where has that been all series? I know he played it. Mazzulla made a change in game six, and that was good at least. Jaylen Brown, to answer Bijan, your question, last year in the 7-game series victory against the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, Jaylen Brown averaged 24 points per game on nearly 49% shooting, 40% from three. 7 rebounds per game, 3.5 turnovers, 3 assists.
So a totally different story.
Series.
Yeah, so he was better. Yeah.
He was way better.
And then this series, 22 game one, 16 game two, 12 tonight. Tatum was our top scorer with 14 points. Gabe Vincent had 29. Gabe Vincent outscored Tatum and Brown. Going back to game two, by the way, everyone talks about the Grant shit with getting under Butler. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that the two plays that sealed the victory for Miami was Adebayo going around Horford, sealing inside position, grabbing the rebound and putting it back with a slam dunk. And then Gabe Vincent. And this is what I mean by the Heat are just in a category of their own. Gabe Vincent going 1-on-1 with Tatum for a step back long two swish. Like, oh my God, that doesn't happen with any other. Like, Kevin Love, 5 minutes, he got injured, whatever. The broadcasters at the end of the game were like, oh, I wonder who the Heat are going to be able to throw out their game four.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Jimmy Butler, fuck it.
If Jimmy, like a random I think if guy Jimmy Butler crowd, was playing the series, it'd go seven.
Sorry, what was that, Bijan?
I think if Jimmy Butler wasn't playing in the series, it would go seven games.
Yeah, I mean, he's so, so good. He is
no,
like,
but I'm saying if that's how – that's how. I mean, that's how like much they're dominating us.
I completely disagree because that team runs through Jimmy Butler.
No, I agree, in a vacuum, like for sure. But like say like if you say you like still had like his mentality and like his like influence, but without him actually on the court.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Obviously, if you just put these guys on the fucking like Pistons, yeah, you know. But like, but if like say like just tonight's game, like with say they played tonight, but just without Jimmy, but had that same like mentality and mindset that was set from Jimmy and Haslam and Spoelstra, like I think it would go seven games because that's how confident they are. And Austin, back to that Gabe Vincent shot. Like, no one on our team is making that shot. Like, it's just Tatum, Brown, like no one on our team would, like, make a shot like that.
Yeah, why don't we have the cojones to make a big shot or, like, have any organization? Like, the Heat, I know, we all know, if it's nut crunching time, the Heat are getting good shots. The Celtics are just spin a snow globe and see what happens. Cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Ridiculous.
It's like they don't know how, like they've never been in a close game in their lives or something. Or like it's all like turning it over and loose balls, deflections.
Yeah, the Heat are very, very good down the stretch.
Yeah.
Like when they're down by 10 plus points in the playoffs, they win those games above 70% of the time. All other teams are like whatever, 20% or whatever it is. Like the Heat, there's never a deficit that the Heat don't say, all right, we got them right where we want them. That's crazy. Like if it's second half action and it's a 10-point game, 8-point game, fourth quarter, they're down six with 6 minutes left. All right, fellas, here we go. We got them right where we want them. Celtics don't have that mentality. Maybe with Udoka they would. Maybe I'm being too harsh on Mazzulla. I probably am. Prisoner of the moment. We're down 3-0. After the Philly game five, I felt pretty defeated. After game five, Milwaukee last year, that was really defeating. After game six, Miami last year, that was really defeating. But this is a whole different level.
Because we're down 3-0. Season's over.
Like, it's over. You keep Tatum and we'll see what happens with Horford, I guess. I want to keep Smart. He's been our longest tenured guy. He's been in our lives for a while.
So
I don't think he's an issue, Bijan.
I would keep Brown over Smart. Like that's not even like Brown is we can say all we want and we can get mad at him after these games. But I mean, Brown is an elite player. And
I agree with you, Bijan, but I don't know if you Jaylen Brown would stay just because we got rid of Marcus. I mean,
what? Why do we think Jaylen's like going to leave just because of those comments?
I don't know. It's a lot of money to pay.
I think they will. I think they. You have to. If they don't pay, I'm like riding. They better pay.
Jaylen Brown has to be confident that this team can go back and get to the finals again next year, and I don't know if he's confident in that.
He has to be confident in himself because he has to play. He has to be confident in himself because it's really not his fault. But I mean, he's a main reason why they're underperforming in the series. So it's not really. I mean, it starts with he has to realize that he's a star. I'm not disagreeing with you, but from in terms of hit and mindset, I don't know what else you can expect. You have a loaded team. You have Tate. You have a top five player on your team. You yourself this year were considered a top 10 player, by the way, he made all NBA. He's not a top 10 player, but definitely top 15 or top 20. And you've got six man of the year, you got, and then you've got DPOY, point guard, and you got a bunch, like, a few other quality guards. Like, I don't know what exactly else you want. I mean, it's really on you at that point. It's on you and JT to elevate the team. If you're that guy, and I know, and he may not think that way, but I mean, it's not on anyone else but
you at that point, right? I mean, it's not, it's like, I don't, you're going to go to, like, where are you going to go? You're going to go to Houston and win a title in Houston? I mean, I know they have Ime, but I mean, is that going to happen? Like, I if he does that, I would lose a lot of respect for him. And if this, so, and I don't think he operates that way, and I expect him to. I mean, if the Celtics don't offer him the Supermax, I wouldn't stay either. That's disrespectful. So the Celtics better offer him the Supermax, right? Right. Also, one last thing. I know I'm defending Joe a lot, and Joe definitely deserves blame. But he's not the sole reason that this team is underperforming. And like I said, Austin, those things that you mentioned, like these late game struggles, like I said earlier, these things have happened throughout the Tatum Brown era. This is not unique to Joe. Ime last year, they struggled late game. That was really a thing. They had that one famous game one play against the Nets, Tatum spinning layup where they didn't call a timeout. Brad, they struggled late game. It's just Tatum dribble, step back, or just struggling to get quality looks. So I've seen this team just struggle with different coaches and certain issues. And definitely Ime, I think, was the best for this group, at least in this current iteration. I think Brad's like magic with like the IT and then the early Kyrie Tatum years, that 2017, 2018 Celtics, that team was like, but those teams had like magic to them. But I think Ime, like that defensive mindset that he put in was really, really important. And I do have problems with Joe's philosophy as the shooting threes. I mean, that's backfired, and them not having a defensive mindset, that's backfired. But I at the end of the day, it's the players. I mean, this isn't football. I mean, the players need to go out there and execute, and they are. So,
yeah, I agree with you. No, it's like coaching terrible, players terrible. It's pretty even. I wouldn't toss it on one or the other.
I agree. Coaching not good, players not good, but players need to coaching. I understand that it's not good. Players, there's no excuse.
Yeah, I know. Like you can have a shitty team, like a good team, and a shitty coach and still do good, but you can't have a good coach with a shitty team and do good.
Well, look at Miami.
Like you can kind of say that with Miami, but they're not a shitty team. They're good. They are a good team. They're good players.
They are, but Miami this season averaged the least amount of. I know this. I know it's not the same. This regular season averaged literally the least amount of points a game. Like in terms of just raw points per game, their offensive rating, which is like takes into account like possessions or whatever, was 26. The only teams that were worse were Detroit, San Antonio, all teams that are picking in the top five. And so they definitely flipped a switch somehow.
Yeah, dude, they cooked three really, really good teams in the playoffs.
Fellas, here's what I'll say with the coaching.
No, they are a good team, but it's just they're not. They don't have better – Austin, like you said earlier, they don't have better players in the Celtics. They simply don't.
It is – yes. It is human nature.
You aren't 26 as offense.
Right. Exactly.
Good.
It is human nature to feel motivated by who your coach is and who your coaching figure is. Last year, I felt like we were winning with Ime. This year, I have felt like – because it went 6 with Atlanta, because it went 7 with Philly, I felt like we needed to win in despite of Joe. Maybe that's not fair. With the Heat, I feel like, and I know I'm saying this, I feel like shit, and I know that that's, you know, what that's not a really strong use of words, but I feel like the Heat players are empowered by Spoelstra. Vincent's not doing this for Detroit. Duncan Robinson's not doing this if he's playing for, I don't know, the Timberwolves. Caleb Martin's not doing this for the Trailblazers, whatever. Like, these guys are empowered by their coach, what he's seen in them. They play for each other. They play with each other. They are winning with Spoelstra. I've always felt like the Celtics needed to win almost in spite of Joe. We've seen the comments from Smart, like, the offense is random. We support Joe. We love Joe. You know, whereas Ime would, like, you know, put his arm around Marcus and say, here's what you did well, and here's where you need to do a lot better, man. So that's that. Jaylen Brown, to Bijan's point, I don't think it's in his DNA. I agree. I don't think it's in his DNA to jump ship. I remember why I fell in love with how he was going to fit with the Celtics when he got drafted, when he said, I can sleep when I die, or I can rest when I die, something like that. Back in 2016, when we were, you know, in seventh grade, he said that stuff. And now here we are. I don't think that he's just going to jump ship to Houston unless his relationship with Udoka is that strong or whatever the case is. But I think he wants to win here. Jaylen Brown, whether the Celtics have run out of gas, I would hope not. That's not what I'm about. I'm going to fight to the end, end quote. And yet we've had these, you know, these quotes from him and the rest of the guys, you know, being like, they out-toughed us, they outplayed us, we didn't match their energy, and yet Sunday night happened. So I don't know what to believe, but, you know, these are some pretty poignant quotes, as it should be after such a raw, stunning game. I don't really know what to go from here. I will say I'm super duper confident in the Heat winning game four. I would actually be shocked if the Celtics win game four. I would be very, very surprised.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You're not coming back from 3-0. It's like, it legit doesn't. I don't even care. No one cares about pride. You've already, like, you already lost a series that you haven't. I know it's a stupid 97%. You already lost a series of 90%. Like, I don't give a damn if you don't get, like, if you get swept or whatever. This series is over. This is an embarrassing. It's an embarrassing series. Embarrassing look for the team.
Game three was the pride game. Embarrassing for pride game. If you have any pride, you win game three. You don't.
Or at least you put up a fight in game three. I mean, at least you could have. I mean, at least you could game. I mean, game one and two, it's not like those were good games, but I mean, at least you didn't get blown out. This game, you just got your ass kicked. And this is embarrassing for us fans. This is embarrassing for Smart. This is embarrassing for Brown. This is embarrassing for Tatum. This is embarrassing for Horford. This is embarrassing for Derek White. This is embarrassing for Mr. 0 points, Malcolm Brogdon. This is embarrassing for Joe Mazzulla. This is embarrassing for all of Celtics Nation. And you know, I don't know where we go from here. As we can have these off-season discussions, as Max was talking about earlier, and definitely we should. Definitely will be interesting to see what happens. But if this is the end of the Tatum Brown era, which hopefully it's not. I mean, this is a sad way to go out, because these guys have a special talent. This group is very so talented, and we've seen them play at their best, and just to see it fall apart like this is really sad.
By no means do I want this to be the end of the Tatum Brown era. Like, remember, Tatum first team all NBA, Jaylen second team all NBA. if you spin this series, let's assume we lose in four, you're gonna say game one blew double digit lead, game two blew double digit lead, game three never stood a chance, whatever. And then you're going to go from a 10,000-foot view and say they had two double-digit leads at home with two guys who made top two all-NBA teams, and you split them apart with a 34-year-old rookie head coach because Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra orchestrated the greatest eight-seed run of all time. You're going to split them up because of that. That would be very dumb, right? That would be a dumb thing to do if you split them up because of that. All right, so that's one way of looking at it. So, I don't want this to be the end of that. I forgot what my second. Oh, your point about how this is embarrassing for Celtics fans. It's kind of silly to say that, but it actually is. It actually is. Knicks fans now have ammo. They took two games against the Heat.
Yeah, because they have Jalen Brunson. He got that dog in him, all right?
They have freaking Jalen Brunson, who I gain more respect for by the day. And honestly, after that series against the Knicks, I was killing RJ Barrett and Julius Randle, like, rightfully so, but I have a little bit more respect for them now because they're making RJ Barrett and Julius Randle look like Tatum and Brown.
Yeah,
and
but Jalen you also Brunson you forget like, that they didn't have Jimmy for one game.
I guess, but still. Also, I have two friends at school who are Heat fans. One of them is like my really good friend, and he's like doesn't actually like he's not like he just became a fan like 2 years ago or whatever. But like I can't have him talking. Like it's a bad look. It really is. We're the freaking Boston Celtics. Did you see Magic Johnson's tweet? You guys see that?
I did not see Magic.
It was awesome. I mean, and he says, in my 44 years of being associated with the NBA, I would never thought I'd see a Boston Celtics team, a franchise with 17 championships, quit. I know Celtics fans all over the world must be disgusted and devastated.
Thank you, Magic.
I appreciated seeing that. I really did.
Did you see what Barkley's – so they brought Gabe.
Yeah, I saw that.
The TNT set, and Vincent's like, they got star players. They're not going to go down without a fight. And Barkley interrupts him and goes – well, you must not have seen what happened tonight. Like, wow. The great thing about Barkley is he just speaks his mind, and most of the time he's right. He just speaks his mind, like facts. Like, if this team back to my point, if this team had any pride, if this team had any pulse, they would have fought tonight, they would have won tonight. But my goodness, they just rolled over, and that was really sad. Yeah, might be out of thoughts here for tonight. It's 12:50 a.m. local time here, Monday, May 22nd. But yeah,
hopefully the Joker can get the job done tomorrow night. Because I guess I'll have to switch my. Now the Celtics are done. It's now me as an on the Nuggets bandwagon for the rest of the way. That team plays basketball the right way. They have clearly defined roles on their team,
yep.
which is important. And they just are – it's refreshing to watch them play versus how we play. So yep. I'll look forward to watching them in the finals, beating the Heat in the finals.
For all the quote unquote hope and anticipation of NBA fans everywhere hoping for a Celtics Lakers finals, it's now pretty clear that the Heat and the Nuggets are the two best teams, and you know why? Because
they deserve to be there.
Yeah, they generate the best looks on offense more times than any other team. They just get good looks because of their personnel. Because as Bijan you mentioned so well, they have defined roles. Everyone is uplifted by each other. They know what they're doing. They play as a unit. They play as a team. It's synergy. It's whatever you want to call it. Great coaching too. Spoelstra, Michael Malone. Great individual players. Jokic, Butler. Shot makers. Toughness. Great secondary players. Secondary stars. Shot making ability. Really good teams.
Yeah, so. this is, I mean, the fact that we're down 3-0 to the freaking Miami Heat. We thought we were in for a tough series, but we'd be going to the finals again against a Nuggets team that we match up well against, or the freaking Lakers who have, I mean, I know they have LeBron and AD, but.
And John, who's convenient, thought we would sweep the Heat.
We are down 3-0. We haven't even, like, this isn't even a series. Like, if you think about this from actually, like, if you kind of take a step back and think about what just happened, I mean, this is fucking ridiculous, man. It's starting to kind of resonate with me now. Like, what? Like, this is a disaster. This is such a disaster. I mean, it's not even a real series at this point.
Yeah.
This is bad, man. I didn't need. It's kind of starting to hit me now. But this is, yeah. I don't even know what to say. I'm disgusted with this team, honestly.
I'm scrolling through Instagram right now, seeing some of their stupid quotes.
As I was telling Max before we, you know, once again got going here, I've now like been questioning every small thing, did I curse this team at any point here?
Yeah, you can't say that. You're so stupid.
When I said, remember I said that like 6 years ago thing of when LeBron in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Cavaliers were up by legitimately 40 points in the first half against us. I sent that thing of like the final score.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a bad omen for tonight. Like all that.
You know what that team did though? You know what that team did in game three? You know what happened in the game three?
Was that the Avery Bradley game?
Of course it was.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. This team would never. What happened? I mentioned this, like the 2017-18 Celtics. Like, remember that team? They got Kyrie. They won a 16-game win streak. They're coming back from double digits down. It's like, what happened to that? The Celtics, how many double-digit comebacks did they have this whole – I know they won, like, one or two regular season games this whole year. And I think including playoffs when they were trailing by like seven or more after the third quarter. And one of them was that OKC game in like November, December.
Yep.
Like what happened?
I got one last thing to say to you, but
yeah,
I'm out. But you were saying earlier, like the magic that these teams used to have.
Yeah.
Like all season long watching this team, I never really felt like, damn, this team is fun to fucking watch. Like, I really enjoy watching this team play. Like, they have magic to them. Compared to last year and, like, literally all years past, I feel like the Celtics were more fun to watch. This year, at least for me personally, I didn't have as much fun watching them this year. I was more frustrated and just, like, happy about the little wins and just so thankful for the wins. When in the past, I was like, shit, that was fun to watch. Like, we earned that win. I feel like every win we had this year was always like, damn, like we thank God we somehow got away with that.
October, November,
yeah, I mean,
were really good.
I kind of agree, but I think that Max, I think that's more has to do with just the amount of, I mean, losing to the Magic three times this year, no pun intended, like stuff like that. Like since we've been fans since like, I don't this was the most wins they've had in a regular season. So yep. They won a lot of games, but it was just the amount of games that they shouldn't have won, they shouldn't have lost that they lost.
Yeah.
And so Max, I do know what you're saying, but this team also at times looked invincible. They did. And then they would have games that just, they looked like crap. And then Miami's really good at making you, Miami has some Belichick to them where they make you look left-handed. And they Celtics look, they got them out of sorts. The Celtics' best team beats any team's best team. The Celtics won't. Sorry, Celtics' best game will be any other team's best game. I still think that's true. The Celtics can't play their best game against Miami. So
yep, I think Miami.
We beat Milwaukee, I think, this year.
Yeah,
but
I think Miami. They were sharks. And they knew that we were bleeding before the series began. They saw what happened with Atlanta. They saw what happened with Philly. They saw what happened with those weird losses. The Washington loss. The Nets loss when we were up by 25. Those three losses to the Magic when we lost by like 50 points at OKC.
They had those losses here too. This is why I can't understand. They lost these games this year. I mean, not in the playoffs. They didn't screw around in the playoffs, I guess. You could say that. But regular season, Miami was not a good team.
It's so funny, actually, now that we've discovered this. This is the most wins we've ever seen in a regular season since we've been fans. And yet, the losses that we've had have been so memorable. All we remember...
Yeah, I remember a lot of the losses. It's true. It is true.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean,
really
to be fair, anything. They did start off 21-4, and then the rest of the way, they whatever their record was, it was. So they did get off to like a really hot start. That was my point on the Bucks this year, Austin. How they had like they played like two great stretches of basket. Like 25 of their like 58 wins came in like two win streaks. That was my remember that podcast we did, Austin,
for the
playoffs. That, I made that point. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, life goes on. We have to live our lives. Celtics should feel ashamed and embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm embarrassed to be a Celtics fan right now.
It hurts because I care. We all care. We all want these guys to do well. We all want to go. We all want to go to a parade. You know, we all want to go watch games with each other for as long as we can. And, you know, it just won't happen this year.
Well said.
Hey, we're grateful we got, 26 other teams wish they could have played four more games.
So. I agree. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, you know, I saw Sixers.
No one feel bad for us.
I saw Sixers fans say, we knew this about Boston all along. They won their annual Super Bowl by beating the Sixers. This is what they get. Shut the fuck up.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to hear anything
from Philly fans have no basis.
Yeah, no. They don't even give them. They're just salty. You know, we have our own problems, but you guys are literally just the worst. I mean, like, if you say Celtics, all you guys get to the conference finals and lose. You guys always, Philly, you guys get to the second round and lose.
You've never been to the Eastern Conference finals like 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't want it. It's been like 20 years, actually, since AI, 2001, right?
Right, yeah. Well said by Bijan. Like, we have been pretty blessed to see these deep runs by the Celtics throughout our high school years and so far through our first two college years.
And really, this is because if you go through all the years, so that first year we made the conference finals with IT and all of them, that year was just, we were happy to be there. It was fun, but we lost. The next year, no Kyrie, no Hayward, take LeBron to 7 games. That was pretty awesome. The next year, the next conference finals was against Miami in the bubble. And while that was very, very frustrating.
And the year in between that was the Kyrie lose in Milwaukee. Yeah.
I'm talking about like all the years we've made deep runs. And I think conference finals are considered deep runs.
Yep.
We lost to Miami in the bubble. Honestly, they didn't blow us out in any games. But I remember in those first two games, we went down 2-0, and we had like double-digit leads in both the fourth quarters. So that team was just, I mean, you could say they're young. Kemba was injured, whatever. And so this is really the most disappointing year out of all of them, for sure.
Definitely, easily.
But we are very grateful and blessed to, at least, I mean, in five conference finals in 7 years. I mean, I think a lot of teams would love to do that. Also, when you get there and you don't get the job done, it makes it that much more frustrating. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I like to think that the losses have hardened us, that, you know, as the saying goes, it's always darkest right before dawn. But we're going to have to wait for the sun to rise at least another year, I guess. It ain't happening. It's probably not going to happen. I was probably wrong with the whole 139. I don't know how many teams have been 139, 189, 149, whatever it is. It's not a friendly stat for the Boston Celtics here.
Isn't it 149?
Yeah.
Okay, 149. But yeah, this is good to get off our chests. Yeah, hopefully, if you're still listening, you enjoyed listening to this rant, hour or so, whatever it was. As Max said, low-key therapeutic here. I'm tired as fuck. Can't wait to get to bed, post this in the morning.
Get some nice sleepy time.
But
I'm going to wake up feeling sad tomorrow.
Yeah, like, I'm
going to wake up tomorrow morning.
Should I, like,
be in your house?
Yeah.
Should the mindset be wake up, feel sad, or wake up feeling dangerous? Wake up feeling motivated? I don't know.
Wake up knowing we got at least one more basketball game to watch.
Yeah, that stinks. I don't want to have to watch these guys play anymore.
Well, it all comes full circle. All right. But yeah, with Max Topol, Bijan Sharif, and Austin Barrett, thanks for listening.